1,000 miles, and I'll do all the driving, you just watch. And while they could learn a lot from that, as you talk and demonstrate and talk and demonstrate, really, the vast amount of what they know doesn't come to them until they get behind the wheel themselves. That's how they learn their connection with the car. It's how they feel the road beneath them. It's how they learn everything, is by having their experience, you see. So a parent who says, I trust you to figure it out, and I'm here rooting for you, but I'm not going to figure it out for you. I'm going to root for you figuring it out, is the ideal parent. Children test you because they come forth knowing that they know, and they come forth wanting you to know that they know. The first words they say are, I want to do it myself. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. Isn't that what they say? Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. And it's really worth considering, at what point do they say, no, you do it. No, you do it. No, you do it. And think about what makes that transition. What causes that transition is, let me do it, let me do it, let me do it, comes from the place of believing that they can do it. And it takes quite a bit of, no, you did that wrong. No, that was inappropriate, before they sort of wilt and begin saying, okay, you do it, you do it. And so we think that if we were standing in the role of parent, that our dominant quest would be to hear the sweet words, let me do it, let me do it, let me do it. And our answer would be every time, good for you, I believe you can do it. Good for you, I believe you can do it. No matter how old they are, no matter what relationship you have with them, you are wanting to hear that from them. Let me do it. Let me do it. You hear that a lot from this one. Only now it is transformed into different words. I think, I believe, I know, I want to do this. Yes. Something more?
No. Thank you.
Right here.
Over the last year, many things in my life have gotten better. And I want to feel better about something, which is, it's a kind of contradiction, but I would like to feel good about feeling good. And a lot of the time, I feel, even though intellectually I know this isn't necessary, but I feel bad about feeling good because other people don't feel good. And I feel like a lot of times I will make myself smaller and I will join at some level thinking that I am assisting, even though I really know that I'm not.
Well, sometimes there is benefit in that, and let us tell you what it is. You are a highly sensitive being, which means you pick up on the vibrations of those around you in a very keen way. And if your energy is in one place and someone that you are wanting to assist has an energy in a very different place, sometimes a meeting in the middle is of value, as long as you understand what you are doing and you are doing it consciously, you see. In other words, it's sort of like slowing yourself down just a little bit so that you can help make some bridges for them. Now, I want to go back to what you initially said, because I feel bad about feeling good when others don't feel good. Now, if you're talking as a general rule, in other words, if you're just talking about the world in general, then we would say, that's really not a good philosophy. Don't encourage that at all. If you're talking about one specific person who has a specific issue or problem, we can understand how you might want to slow yourself down just a little bit in order to assist them. Now, here we're going to give some distinctions in all of that to help you feel the difference in that. When you have been basking and have been reaching for the thought that feels better, and you've practiced it until it is a really familiar vibration, and on most subjects that you contemplate, you feel very good, people who have dramatically different vibrations wouldn't naturally have access to you. if you were gravitating over a long period of